Okay, good morning. Let's turn to Job chapter 3. All right, Job chapter 3. Afterward, Job opened his mouth and cursed the day of his birth. And Job said, "Let the day perish on which I was to be born, and the night which said a boy is conceived. May that day be darkness, and let not God above care for it, nor let light shine on it. Let darkness and black gloom claim it. Let a cloud settle on it, and the blackness of the day terrify it. As for that night, let darkness seize it. Let it not rejoice among the days of the year. Let it not come into the number of the months. Behold, let that night be barren. Let no joyful shout enter it. Let those curse it who curse the day, who are prepared to rouse Leviathan. Let the stars of its twilight be darkened. Let it wait for light, but have none. Neither let it see the breaking dawn, because it did not shut the opening of my mother's womb or hide trouble from my eyes. Why did I not die at birth? Come forth from the womb and expire. Why did the knees receive me, and why the breast that I should suck? For now I would have lain down and been quiet. I would have slept then. I would have been at rest. With kings and with counselors of the earth who rebuilt ruins for themselves, or with princes who had gold or were filling their houses with silver. Or like a miscarriage which is discarded, I would not be, as infants that never saw light. There the wicked cease from raging, and there the weary are at rest. The prisoners are at ease together. They do not hear the voice of the taskmaster. The small and the great are there, and the slave is free from his master. Why is light given to him who suffers, and life to the bitter of soul, who long for death, but there is none, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures, who rejoice greatly? They exult when they find the grave. Why is light given to a man whose way is hidden, and whom God has hedged in? For my groaning comes at the sight of my food, and my cries pour out like water. And what I fear comes upon me, and what I dread befalls me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet, and I am not at rest, but turmoil comes." Amen. Chapter 1 and 2, A View of Heaven. The three friends come. And from chapter 3 to verse 37, you have what's called the arguments of Job. And so three friends will begin to, you know, actually for 7 days, you have to recognize, these are really Job's friends. All right, these are not fake friends. You know, these are really his friends. They come, remember, they see him, they don't recognize him, they mourn, they cry, and they sit with him for 7 days in silence. And then after that time, they begin to assess what's happening, and then they begin to accuse is kind of strong, but they begin to surmise that Job must have sinned. And so what happens through these next chapters is Job basically defends himself through all this. And the way he does it, he basically has three basic complaints, and he's really debating what his friends, and his friends are making a very simplistic assumption in these cycles of debate, which is that you must have sinned. You must deserve this punishment or this suffering in some way. And Job basically makes three main complaints, and these are the three arguments that he makes, or the conclusions that he has, that God will come back at 38 and on and correct these assumptions. And three basic ones. The first one is God doesn't hear me. God does not hear me. The second one is God is punishing me. And the third one is God allows the wicked to prosper. And so, and each time in his defense, you notice his defense is much longer than the accusation of his friends. And this is the key to understanding to Job. In the process of defending his innocence, he becomes guilty of self-righteousness. In the process of defending his innocence, he becomes guilty of self-righteousness. I don't know if I said it at EMP. I may have said it in one of the services on Sunday, but why do people go to hell? I mean, you really think about this. What sin is it you know, by which people go to hell. Now, obviously, we know all sins, you know, we all fall short. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. But is there any real particular sin that would merit going to hell? And I want to suggest to you, there is one, which is self-righteousness. In other words, that you trust in yourself, that you depend on yourself for your salvation instead of the cross of Jesus Christ, instead of his blood poured out for us. And you make yourself out to be your own God. That's self-righteousness. You have to understand, self-righteousness, it's just dreadful. It is horrible. And so Job, you can see here, and remember, he's a righteous man, but all the way from the beginning of his speech, you start seeing some chinks in his armor, okay? So let me explain that by giving you this question. Is it better to say, I am a worm, you know, versus I am the greatest? Just think about that for a moment. You know, is it more spiritual? Is it better to say, man, I suck, I'm the worst, as opposed to say on the flip side, I'm the best, I'm the greatest? I want to suggest to you, it's the same exact thing. There's, inflated view of self, which we call pride, right? And this other part that Job is operating, this deflated view of self, which is called pity. And so you flow through pride and pity. Job is operating out of pity. He basically comes and says, woe is me, I should not have been born. Right. Notice now, he doesn't renounce God. He doesn't curse God, but what does he do? He curses himself. He renounces himself. He even says, I wish I wasn't even born. You know, I wish, and remember, this is a book of poetry. So there's a lot of melody in here. Like I actually really like verse 12. Why did the knees receive me, and why the breasts so that I should suck? He's basically talking about your father and mother. You know, a dad puts the kids on his knees, and that's the primary instruction. I mean, that's what I do with my son. And I tell my son, sits on my knees, or my kids, well, my kids are too big now, right? They'll hurt my knees now. But my, at least Hannah, you know, I put them on my knees, and I'll instruct them. I'll tell them what's going on. I'll tell them I love them, you know, all these things. And then obviously the breasts, you know, obviously speaking about mom. And so, I mean, you look at Job. Job had a mom and a dad. You know, he seemed to have a pretty good upbringing, but he comes to the point that he doesn't renounce God, but he renounces himself. I want to suggest to you that's the first step in this kind of like elevator down to despair. Doesn't it always start like that? We don't immediately curse God. We curse ourselves. You know, like we say things like, what's wrong with me? You know, why can't I get married? Why can't I get a better job? You know, why can't, you know, I be successful in business? And fair enough, they're fairly good introspective questions, you know, but the heart for a lot of people, because obviously some people, they're just trying to analyze, but some people are just plain out feeling sorry for themselves, you know, and it goes into despair, this despondency. There's like, oh, woe is me. You know, I should have never been born. Better that I wasn't born on this planet. You know, why am I here on earth? And, you know, and the idea of purpose and all these things, you know, begin to come out. He says here, the night which said a boy is conceived. You got to understand, in this culture at this time, you know, Job is probably talking about a little bit after the post-Abrahamic time. And a boy coming to the world is a night of rejoicing. Right, but he says here that that's not the case. You know, a boy is conceived, and it's, you know, that day is going to be darkness, and he's just the totally opposite, and that's still the sin of self. You know, a lot of Christians think that being humble, you know, is saying things like, "Oh man, I'm bad," you know, or "I'm not that good," and things like that. That's not humility. That's false humility. You know, that which is really the highest form of arrogance. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard me give this illustration before. You know, but if God were to come to a prideful person and told a prideful person, he says, "Hey, you're the king of the universe," You know, the prideful person would say, oh, no, not me. You know, far be it for me to have that kind of title. If God were to come to a prideful person and said, you're the scum of the earth, you know what a prideful person would say? Who are you talking to, man? I ain't no scum of the earth. You know, God comes to a genuinely humble person and says, you're the king of the universe. You know what a humble person says? Yes, I am. Thank you. Humility, in many ways, is agreeing with God. God comes to a genuinely humble person and says, you're the scum of the earth. A humble person says, yes, I am. I'm the scum of the earth. It's agreeing with God. It's not putting yourself down. That's false humility. Humility is purely just agreeing with God because God has got the best perspective. Right? God's got the perspective, and we just agree. And so if he comes and he looks at you and says, man, you're awesome. You know, you're amazing. A humble person says, thank you, Lord. Yes, I am. You know, the Lord comes and says, hey, man, there's some things you gotta do. You're not acting like, the humble person says, yes, I am. I'm gonna right this ship. It's agreeing with God. It's a totally different person, idea that we think. And so Job is operating out of this false humility. You know, I'm a worm, you know, I can't do anything right, and it better if that I'm not born, and so on and so forth. And you start seeing now the chinks are in his armor here. Again, spiritually, it may seem like this is like a pretty, because he's not renouncing and cursing God. But in the same way, cursing ourselves does not give God any joy. I mean, just if you just take a moment, think about what that means when you put down yourself. Huh? Who created you? Who created you? The Father did. The psalmist tells us, he's giving us this incredible revelation that he thought about you. He created you from the innermost foundations of the earth. I mean, from way back in time. And he's got awesome thoughts. I remember, as a father, and my wife was probably more really like struck by this, you know, I'll be honest, than me. But I remember there was a period of time where one of my older daughters, and she, I don't know what happened. She got into this phase where she just said that she was ugly. You know, I'm so ugly. And so on and so forth, which is, you know, it's not true, you know. I mean, okay, I'm not the best looking person in the world, but have you seen my wife? Come on, right? I mean, that's half of her genes. So surely, you know, our kids are good looking. But it's crazy. And as a parent, I'll tell you, that hurt a lot. You know, and not because... she was my kid. I mean, that was part of it. But it's because she's so beautiful. You know, I mean, she's so pretty. And something got into her head that she was ugly. And it was really painful more so for Lisa. You know, I'm like, oh, it's just a phase. She's going to get over it. It's okay. You know, I just told her every day how pretty she was. But it becomes so grievous. We are the parents, and we're looking at our beautiful daughter, and she's saying something that, number one, is not factually true. I know all kids are beautiful in their eyes, right? I mean, I understand that. But I could say objectively that she's a pretty good-looking girl. And so it's factually not true, but also the simple fact that she's my daughter, you know, and for her to... you know, put herself down in that way, you know, or, you know, we've heard our kids also say things like, I'm so stupid, you know, and so actually, you know, in our home, that word, S word, is actually forbidden. People get in trouble, you know, we see, because to be honest, I'm the one who usually, you know, blurbs it out, you know, on accident. Oh, man, that's so stupid. You know, I grew up saying that, and Andrew would say, oh, Appa, you said the S word. You know, and then I'll get scolded, you know, by my wife. Rightfully so, because but we try to eliminate those words from our vocabulary in our house. And can you imagine, I mean, you know, these are just our kids doing that. We're fallible. Can you imagine the infallible God looks down and his child is saying, I'm so dumb, I'm so stupid, I'm so ugly, you know, I'm nothing, I'm worthless, I'm so on and so forth. Can you imagine what the father looks down and he thinks of us? But yet there's this false idea that this is what being humble is. It's not. And Job, right, again, the first salve in this whole battle He comes out, and the basic idea is it's self. And this is really the first attack of the enemy that comes our way, is for us to put ourselves down, to make ourselves seem worthless. And that's the first thing, because then as soon as we dwell into that for a while, right, and then we're going to start attacking God. That's just generally how it works. And so let's close our eyes today. And if you find yourself doing this, if you find yourself putting yourself down, you find that a lot of times it becomes quite introspective, and you say, you know what, you're saying this right. I do find myself putting myself down pretty easily, quite often. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You are fearfully and wonderfully created. Yes, we are unworthy, but we are not worthless. No matter what your mom told you, if she told you contrary to what God says, or your dad told you, forget those things. Listen to what God tells you. So I love you with an everlasting love. Psalmist says, you are the apple of my eye. You know what that term really means, the apple of my eye? It means that God is so close to your face, like he's so close to you, like staring at you, staring at your beauty, that he could actually see his image. That's actually what that phrase means. He sees the image of himself. It's like if you are so close to somebody and you looked in their eyeball, you could see yourself in that. That's the apple of my eye. That's what it means. And so God stares at us with such love and such care, with such beauty. He says, don't put yourself down. The Father says, it hurts me when you put yourself down. Because number one, it's the furthest from the truth. You are wonderful, beautiful, fearfully, wonderfully created. And God never makes mistakes. He is perfect in all of his ways. And so as we sing, let's just meditate on that. And then if you do find yourself in some kind of self-disdain, ask God to come and correct our thinking.
Empty praise, thou mine inheritance.
This morning, let's pray that we would have God's perspective on our lives. You know, sometimes we're so aware and vigilant to walk against pride, but then we forget that sometimes when we swing the other side of that pendulum, we walk in false humility, which actually is the highest form of arrogance. Let's just agree with God. Let's disagree with the devil. Let's not put ourselves down, but let's also not lift ourselves too high. Let's find that sweet spot, which is God's perspective. And so if you are someone that's really prone to put yourself down, ask the Holy Spirit to reveal in our hearts why that is. And let's be filled with God's voice and His words. So let's pray. Go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancers and going through therapies. And let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness but also need to be saved. And let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illness, and let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's pray in our missions focus. Let's pray for China. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really continue to breathe over each of our friends there. Let's pray for SP Beijing. They gave up their space recently. And, you know, honestly, there's actually an incredible testimony how God kind of protected them. Because they actually got a visit from the police right after they left. And, I mean, it's just the favor of God. So let's continue to pray for Pastor Hyunsu and the rest of the team as they start breaking up into smaller groups all over the city. Let's also pray for Pastor Ricky, pray for Shanghai, pray for the work of God to continue to be strong. Let's lift up the Chung's ministries, let's lift up churches there. Three Self, International, Local, Underground, all the churches, the gospel will be preached powerfully. Let's lift up China. Let's pray for our board. Let's pray for our members that they would really walk in the wisdom of God and the humility of the Lord. Let's pray for unity and a real heart to serve God and serve His people with all that we have. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries. Let's pray for our young adults. Pray for Pastor Andrew as he leads and tries to restart the ministry. Let's pray for our men's ministry, our morning prayer, and the Pure Desire class, and our women's ministry, the Wednesday lunchtime prayer. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to really lead and guide them. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for building and resources. Let's pray for a benefactor. Ask God to continue to have people give to the Vision Fund and increase it. And let's pray that God would give us a new home eventually. Let's lift up. Let's lift up last week of House Church tonight, Blue Pool, Fortress, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Ventures. Let's pray the Holy Spirit would lead our leaders and our hosts, and just the presence of God would be with us as we close out our season. Great discussion would flow. lastly, let's just pray for Hong Kong. Let's lift up our city. Let's pray for His peace to come. And, you know, especially as a public holiday tomorrow, that there would not be any outbursts of violence. You know, I mean, you know, nothing wrong with protesting, but something very wrong with violence. So let's just cover our city. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you this morning for Job chapter 3, God. And God, we recognize also the self-righteousness, God, that's also in us, Lord. Lord, we recognize, God, it's Lord, just as bad to say I'm a worm as to say I'm the best. Lord, keep us away from pride. Keep us away from false humility, God. Lord, help us to have your perspective, Lord. And for our friends, God, that really struggle with their image, Lord. And I pray that you would put God esteem in them. Let them know what you think about them, what you feel about them, the way that you look at them, God. And let it change their whole perspective of the way they look at themselves. God, we thank you. We love you, Father. Watch over us today. Help us to do our work well, God, and then enjoy our rest tomorrow. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. Remember, tomorrow, church is closed, so no EMP, no lunchtime prayer, but we'll be back here on Friday. We're going through Job chapter 4.